Hello, my name is Junie, and welcome to the Theta Game Podcast. I'm not a financial advisor, and nothing I say is financial advice. I'm just a normal retail trader, just like you. I'm not certified or a graduate of finance, just a trader that started on Wall Street Bets years ago. I've lost a lot of money and made all of it back and more after finding a system that worked for me. You can view all my trades for free at thetagang.com/Junie, no signup required, and email me any questions that I'll answer on the podcast at junie@thetagang.com. Lastly, I stream on Twitch every weekday at least an hour at 9 a.m. Pacific time. Come hang out, ask me questions, vent, or just chill. It's a positive environment, and everyone is welcome at twitch.tv/realthetagang. I've been using the TastyTrade trading platform since I started my ThetaGang journey 5 years ago, and it feels surreal that I've partnered with TastyTrade so I can focus on bringing you guys and girls the content. If you'd like to sign up and use TastyTrade for your trading journey, you can use my link in the show description or use the ThetaGang referral code, that's one word, all caps, when signing up. I use TastyTrade every Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific time, where I chat and trade with viewers live every morning. Go again to twitch.tv/realthetagang if you're interested, join the chatter and morning hangout. Thank you, and I hope you enjoy today's episode. What is going on? Today is September 12th, 2024. It is a Thursday, 2:22 after the bell has closed. You know, not much has happened this week that was unexpected. Some things that are notable is CPI coming in as expected. So year over year inflation is at 2.5%. Which is pretty good. It's not at 2% like the Fed's goal, but it's just something to strive for them. It's not something that they need to hit before they could start considering cutting rates. As long as they believe that inflation is in check, that they might consider a rate cut. And that's coming up actually next week. So FOMC is on 17th and 18th. That's Tuesday and Wednesday of next week. So next week, there's going to be a lot of volatility premium baked into that contract. And you're going to see a lot of that volatility premium kind of get sucked out if you chose an expiration a week after that or 2 weeks after that. You'll notice some volatility premium drop. Or it can actually increase depending on like what actually happens. Like say, for example, they do cut 25 basis points and it stays still. Then maybe you just get volatility premium sucked out of your contract. But if we say, for example, cut 50 basis points and the market freaks out and they're like, oh my gosh, that's great for stocks, but that must mean maybe a recession is coming. Then the stock market plummets and then, you know, volatility continues to go even higher. So you probably start losing on your put that you sold even faster. And yeah, it just wouldn't be that great. So just expect some volatility next week because of FOMC and what can happen from the rate cut announcement. It's been strongly alluded to that we will cut rates. There is about a 85% chance that it will be a 0.25 rate cut versus a 0.50 rate cut. There is a near zero chance that we don't get a rate cut, and I think that would send the market plummeting. I think a 50 basis point cut would also send it plummeting. I think that sounds too panicky, you know, to the public, or that announcement would be too panicky for the public. 0.25 is probably in line with what everyone expects. And yeah, just gotta watch out for that volatility next week. Something of interest, I think there are two stocks that I kind of wanted to talk about today for this week. Nvidia has been on my radar because, you know, you guys know that I love trading Nvidia, one of my favorite bread and butter stocks to ever trade. Nvidia has now gone up to 120. Let me bring up, or close to 120, Nvidia stock. Nvidia stock right now is trading at 118 and 52 cents after hours. It closed at 119. But over the last week, you know, it opened up at like 105 and then now closed at almost 120, about like a 13.4 move. You know, that's a pretty big move, a 13.4% move in about like 4 days. Like, this is not even counting tomorrow. Oh my God. I'm recording this live right now. Oh my God. What just happened? I'm recording this now. I'm literally... Do you guys see... Do you guys see this? NVIDIA, something's happening right now. Literally right now as I am speaking. It just showed after hours down 20%, now down 11%, now down 5%, now down back to 11%. Dude, I'm not gonna turn this off. I'm not gonna turn this off. I want this to be recorded. I'm literally recording, and as I was looking at NVIDIA, just giving a recap for the podcast, I'm seeing this go huge down. Wow, what the heck happened? Okay, seems to be a false alarm. I had totally thought some big, huge announcement came about. Because I've never actually seen the YouTube, or not YouTube, the Google graph when you look up a stock name, the graph that shows up by default in the search results. I've never seen it like update live, and it was like showing that NVIDIA was down like 20%, down 11%, down 5%, doing all that price action. And I was like, wow, what is happening? I thought maybe there was like a ban on exports for a country or something, or maybe a Blackwell chip delay, or I don't know. But that seems to be a false alarm. Anyway, so NVIDIA has gone up about like 13.4% in the last like four trading days, which is wild. So that's number one, just to keep your eyes out, or your eyes open. Max Payne for this week is 110. So NVIDIA trading now at like 119, post-market 118. Max Payne is like $8 away, or $8 down. The other stock that I wanted to talk about was Adobe. Adobe reported just today. Adobe is down 10% after the bell. Trading at the bell at 586, after hours is down to 527. That's a drop of 10%. Their guidance for quarter four fell short. I'm sure that, you know, they met expectations or beat expectations just a little bit, but their forecast for the next quarter is low. And I mean, I could imagine, again, I have Adobe on my bearish watch list for Robinhood. I think stocks like Canva, or not stocks, rather, apps like Canva are just digging into Adobe's market share. Like, and it's stock, or I keep saying stock, but video editing software like CapCut, like all these easier to use alternatives that don't cost as much as Adobe, I think are finally catching up to them. So we'll see. I know for certain that I'll probably never have to use anything in the Adobe suite, because Canva and CapCut solve everything for me. But, you know, I'm not the entire market. This is obviously like a B2B sort of service, and professionals will use the best that there is. But for an average retail consumer, I really do think Canva and CapCut fit the bill, and it's way cheaper than an Adobe subscription. I did a little bit more digging into it, and it looks like, yeah, Adobe beat on all fronts. It's just guidance is pretty low. This move down for Adobe wipes out about like 3 months worth of progress for the stock going up. It's now down to its June 17th levels. But yeah, I don't see myself buying puts on Adobe, just strictly because right now, and this is a good segue, I generally think that the market is going to go up. Even into FOMC and after FOMC, and that's how I'm looking at the market and processing the market right now. If we go to the fear and greed index on CNN.com, it's a indicator that uses like market momentum, stock price strength, stock price breadth, put and call ratios, market volatility. It takes all of these sort of signals and gives you a nice plain number, and then puts it on this really neat, easy to read graphic. It goes from extreme fear, fear, neutral, greed, extreme greed, and it gives you a score. It's like 0 to 100. 50 being neutral, 0 being extreme fear, and 100 being extreme greed. We're currently at 43. And we've had two really solid green days in a row. I really do think from here, we have a really good chance of flipping to neutral to greed. And so, you know, I feel like right now is not the best time, just to circle back to Adobe. I don't think right now is the best time to buy puts for a specific company because a rising tide lifts all boats. I think that's the saying, right? So if the interest rate announcement goes well and Powell is really, I don't know, dovish or something and indicates that maybe there's more rate cuts, but hey, it's not because we're doing bad, it's because we're doing awesome and the market believes it, and you know, the market just generally goes up, it would be pretty difficult to make money on puts when everything else in the market's going up. Now, if the market starts going down, you know, in its entirety, because you know there's a 50 basis point cut and it triggers panic, or there's no cut at all that causes panic, then you know any sort of puts would work as well. So I think from my perspective, because I think the general market will go up until proven guilty. I'm open to being wrong, but I think it's healthy to have a general direction and a general guess or a general educated guess of where the market's going to go, so it structures your trading. I think from my perspective, it's a losing battle to pick a specific company right now and then buy puts on it. I think that's a losing battle. I do have long puts on one particular company right now, and that's Rumble, but I've been in this position for a very long time. I'd say like 2 or 3 months now I've been having these puts. They're very long dated, so I'll stay in these for now. There's a chance that maybe, you know, after the rate cut announcement, I take them off the table, just depending on where the stock is by that time, because I think maybe by then it'll have like 2 months left on them. But yeah, that's just my general thesis going forward, is that like, hey, right now I think the market will be bullish, so I have to kind of trade like it. And that means I could put more trades on than I have in maybe the last few weeks. Because in the last few weeks, maybe I felt like, oh, I don't quite know where the market's going to go. Now I feel like the market will go up. So I got to start trading like that. And of course, doing it is a lot harder than saying it. But stay tuned. Okay. And last but not least, I got a story from Wall Street Bets. I had a lot of fun reading this, or just at least deciphering, you know, what the situation is. Yeah, I pride myself in being able to understand screenshots now that I've done this for, you know, I was going to say quite some time, but that makes you sound like a veteran. More like I've done this for a long enough to understand broker screenshots. And this person here is on the front page. I think they're currently the number one post. Let me just click back. Yeah, they're the number one post. I'll leave them anonymous, but I will read the title and, you know, you can do your own due diligence if you want. But the title reads, borrowed $300K in 11% personal loans and YOLO'd into Vital Energy with margin. And now I am down 100K. So I know. That sounds crazy, but before we like, or at least before I describe what the situation is by looking at the screenshot, you can already tell a lot of what there is to sort of get into here. Is like they borrowed $300,000 on 11%. Okay, so 11% is huge. That is a lot of interest. If you stick that stock into the stock market, you will not come out ahead on average, right? If the stock market returns maybe 8 to 10% on average and you're paying 11% interest, you don't even make money just doing like the most de facto strategy. So this person, I don't know how financially literate they are, but like you needed to do something that would get you better than 11%. But I'm sure honestly that they don't even consider that. They were just more concerned about the 300K. And, you know, that's an assumption built off of a few things that I saw, but I'll take you guys for a ride on that later after I talk about the screenshot, because there's a little bit more to this story than meets the eye than just reading this post. So diving or clicking in I go into the screenshot, and this person bought 19,899 shares of Vital Energy Inc. The stock symbol is VTLE. And they essentially spent like $636,284 on this stock that costed at that time $32, like $31.98. They're currently down $100K on the entire position. And that's crazy. Okay. The stock is now at 26.65. So at the time when they got in, and I did a little bit of research here, VTLE stock. At the time when they went in, it was at 32. Yeah, right here, Wednesday, September 4th. It's gone down 17% without a green day. So one day, two, three, four, five, six trading days of just straight down. It's unreal how bad the timing is. But looking at it, like if they had read Tom Hoogard's book, they probably would not have gone into this stock. And that's because ever since April 15th, 2024, so that's this year, ever since April, it has been on a very, very mean downtrend. It's very obvious that this is in a downtrend. You look at the chart and you're like, the trend is your friend, and you better hope your friend is down, okay? Because if you were to make a, say, buy a call or buy stocks and hoping that it'd go up, you're going against the trend. And unfortunately, this user paid the price that costed, again, like $100,000. I don't think they've closed out of the position, but just know that this person did, in fact, buy $600,000 worth of stock during a downtrend. And from the moment they bought it, it seemed like that triggered a huge sell-off too. It's like people are like actively shorting this thing or something. But like, yeah, ever since September 4th down here, when it was trading at $32, this person just lost every single day. It's so sad, actually. And we have to remember that it's not like they could just sit on these shares and hope that it comes back. They're constantly now fighting against that 11% interest, and it's only a matter of time before they get margin called if the stock goes down too low, it doesn't bounce, and it's not going to be so good. The only bet that they have, or the best chance that they have, is like some huge news piece coming out or some really big radical change in the company happening. You can imagine that's like less than a 1% chance of happening. Still a chance to be had, but this person is effectively in a very stressful scenario. Not only are they down, but they're down and facing like this racing clock of this 11% interest loan. And so this is kind of a good reminder for us, you know, that, you know, take some time to listen to this podcast, so, or for me, from when I record, it reminds me that, hey, you know, it's not worth taking out a loan to trade in stocks, especially take out a loan that you have to pay interest on, especially a double-digit percentage. That makes no sense. I've been asked before if it's a good idea to take a personal loan for Bitcoin or all that stuff, and you know, I have a heyday when I answer that question. But you know, some people just don't know any better. So, I would say most of us, right? Like I'd say, like by this time, if you've listened to this podcast for a while, you've understood like where I stand on debt. Where I stand on loans, I don't like them. I don't like debt. I don't like loans. And some of you are like, yeah, I feel the same way. But I feel like we're actually not the majority of people. I think a majority of people are actually bad with finances. A majority of people do live paycheck to paycheck. So you can see how, you know, when this type of news piece comes up, you're kind of like, oh, this person should know better. Well, the fact is not many people do know better than this. It's just like a lot of people are more scared to do something like this, but I don't know if more people know better. So it's like if you're not financially literate and you have a higher risk tolerance, you're just inevitably going to be doing something like this, maybe a smaller scale, maybe a bigger scale. But it's just important to kind of have empathy for these types of people. It's like, it's funny, you know, for us, looking from outside in, it feels absolutely horrible being in one of these positions, I'm sure. Because, I mean, I've I haven't been on like a margin loan and then down, but I've lost a good chunk of money before trading options, and that never feels bad. I can only imagine that this feels worse. So just a reminder to be empathetic for those that lose a lot of money. It's tough. We all lose a lot of money. Some people lose it in different ways. But yeah, just remember, a majority of people don't really know better. Doing a little bit more of just looking at the position, the main way I check to see if something is shorted heavily is I go to tastytrade, and then I just type in the stock name, and then usually it says hard to borrow, like above the stock symbol. And VTLE, or the energy stock that this guy is trading, is not even heavily shorted. It's just had a very, very fast downtrend from like the moment they bought it. Almost, it's actually kind of insane. The price to earnings ratio, though, very cool. It's sitting at 3, but I think the energy sector in general is known for that. I think energy has a very low price to earnings ratio because their margins are so like thin. I mean, they just do and sell energy, so you can't really at least from my knowledge, you can't put too much of a premium on that. Okay, and then I want to quickly talk about the reason why this topic got into today's episode. It's like this, loss of a lot of money. Like, I've talked about these sort of topics before, but this one, this just made it extra special. And right before I get into that, I just want to talk about this one Reddit comment that made it, that was just really funny to me. It's like, they said, "You're going to go far, kid, using 11% interest loan for shares. Bulletproof." So it didn't occur to me until I read this, was like, oh man, yeah, if you could take 11% out, like why would you just buy shares? Like, you might as well just go lean fully into this degeneracy that you have, and then just really just lean into options or something. At least you'll be wrong quicker, but you'll make a tons more money. Why settle for like stock market sort of expectations? If you're risking 11% on all of this money in an interest loan, you might as well just go full pedal to the metal. But they sort of did this like in-between solution, and they ended up still losing a lot of money. But then now, instead of just being wrong, they gotta sit on this, and then now they just might be wrong for a longer time. It's like a whole psychology type of thing that I started like looking at from that perspective. But yeah, I just thought this was interesting. 11% interest loan for shares, so that made me have a good laugh. And then so now we're gonna get into why this got into today's episode. I saw this other comment. It's like the third most upvoted comment. And the users said, "Bro has been trying to pump this with GPT prompts for days." And dude, I had no idea what this meant. I was like, am I missing out on a Gen Z reference? "Bro has been trying to pump this with GPT prompts for days." And so I was kind of like, okay, maybe this is like a meme. So I went to the homepage, and I like did a search for GPT, and like nothing came up. And I was like, okay, no, this has to be about this post. And then I see this like really bolded and big letters with rocket ship emojis and moon symbols. "VLT is about to blast off to the moon, and here's why." Okay, so then I'm like, oh, I kind of get it. So someone's shilling this. And then I was like, oh no, this user's probably shilling VTLE because they're like down on it, and they want other people to get in. This is like the behavior that I like make fun of all the time, of people trying to have you convince you to get in the burning ship with them. And dude, this person is unhinged. They are so tilted. Like, it's so bad, actually. Like, for every minute, they have like been commenting. Here's just one example. "How do we turn this into a meme stock so it goes to the moon? ? Long buy VTLE, # VTLE Vital Energy, VLD to the moon, Vital Energy in all caps, and Vital Energy in camel case. or snake case rather, without the underscore. They posted this. I have to go to the next page. They posted that at least 30 times in the last 35 minutes. No, so it had to have been like 60 times because they do multiple times per minute. There's another post, but they produced a whole fancy pitch deck promising 10x returns. This is just a paper loss. VTLE will rebound tomorrow. Do you need investors? I can raise 50k using cash advance on my credit card. I am hoping for an oil rebound. Long live VTLE Vital Energy. This person is just super unhinged. Last time I checked, I am a male, spelled M-A-I-L. Okay. Hopefully we'll rebound. Dude, this is like, this is at home. Like, how far does this go back? This is, I need to be bailed out with a short squeeze on VTLE Vital Energy. Let's do a short squeeze on VTLE Vital Energy. Guys, look at the ratio. It's an easy squeeze. And every time I say one of these comments, it's not like that they posted it only one time. They are spamming this. Like, each of these different things that I'm saying are his comments, just multiplied by like five. Please bail me out and buy the stock. Oh my God. Can y'all do me a favor and bail me out with the squeeze? Please, I will do anything. I promise to never trade stocks again. VTLE Vital Energy. Like, they're like in this desperate plea and they want to increase SEO on it. Like, that's crazy, bro. Quick reversion to the mean. That's a little bit of copium. Oh my goodness. Yeah, and like I said, I had already done a little bit of due diligence, right? I went to TastyTrade, typed in VTLE. Dude, it's not hard to borrow. There is no short squeeze coming. Oh my goodness. And then I see here, yeah, wow. Wow. They've been shilling this for a long time. VTLE, a deep value opportunity with strong upside potential. And it looks like this post has been removed from Wall Street Bets multiple times. They try to post this to stocks and trading as well. Try to post this to stocks, trading, post this to short squeeze. Posted this to value investing, and it actually got a lot of engagement there. And then in the discussion thread, they've also been posting. Dude, they were trying to pump this for how long? For three straight days, they were on a posting spree. I'm looking at a lot, at least like 200 comments and like a mix of like maybe 20 to 30 posts. Okay, that is nuts. That is nuts. Wow. Some people don't realize it, but it's like, if you put this much energy into like learning about fundamental investing, like, you know, you start to think to yourself like, man, I'm just gonna start dollar cost averaging to SPY and see where I can go from there. I'll learn like one indicator at a time. I'll start applying that in small positions of maybe calls or puts, or maybe, you know, I will venture out and expand my SPY only portfolio to include SPY and maybe a little bit more tech-heavy QQQ. And then maybe, you know, when I'm feeling a little bit daring, I buy like a little bit of this company that I know will moon. So I'll just put a little bit so it equals the same return as my SPY position or something like that. Like, all of this, all these different strategies that you can use, but it takes time and effort, right? Where pumping your stock and spamming it to different places is one way of thinking. I think people also do this for like maybe things that they believe in, maybe religion or their political party. But you also see it in stocks. And so whenever you see someone coming up to you and be like, hey, I have a good value proposition for you. I got this sweet stock. It's called VTLE, and it's going to the moon. It has strong upside potential and short squeeze possibility. Our VTLE is about to blast off to the moon, and here's why. Like, you put this same amount of energy into educating yourself in personal finance or any of this other stuff, and you are good to go, right? You're in a much better spot. You're not in 100K debt, and maybe you haven't made any money because your money's just sitting there in the loan that you haven't spent money on, and your life is just infinitely better. But this person is now, like, surely has lost money that they cannot afford to lose. So this is just a good reminder, right? Like, I'm not necessarily clowning on this person for losing money, because I just know that it's a horrible feeling, and I'm not a really big fan of kicking people when they're down. When it gets down to it, I love talking poop. I love it. I love talking poop when I'm rolling in jiu-jitsu. I love talking poop when I'm playing video games with friends. It's like my thing. I love to do it. It's just fun for me. I keep it in a very positive, funny tone, but it's just something that I like to do. But I typically won't do it when someone I know is like not having like the bestest of days. And this person is definitely not in a good state right now. So I hope this person actually does, you know, come to terms with, you know, what situation that they're in, and start looking forward and how to sort of navigate this situation. For those that are curious on how I might, console someone that's lost a lot of money like this, especially, you know, if you reach out to me via email, at least 20 people, you know, in the lifetime of the 5 years I've been doing this, at least 20 people have reached out to me through email talking about greater than a 10K loss. Like, I'm talking like five digits. Some of them are six digit numbers. Most of them are a five digit number. And they're always like, "Junie, I listen to your podcast all the time, but I can't believe it happened to me, but it did. Here's my email." Number one thing is, like, you want to, whether or not you close a trade already does not really pertain to me. I'm not the person you come to make the call on whether or not you sell or not. I'm here to console you on that it's not that big of a deal. It's a life-changing amount of money to lose that type of money at, you know, the typical age. You know, people that are risking this amount of money don't have that much risk management. They might not own a house yet. They might be saving up for one, but they just lost a lot of money that set them back. Number one rule is that we gotta make you understand that money's not everything. It makes your life infinitely better. It makes your life easier, but it is never something to end your life on. That's like number one. I read the email. I get the tones from the email. If they're not sounding like super sad or something, I probably won't like just inadvertently say like, don't unalive yourself for the sake of money. But, you know, sometimes some people are feeling really sad, and I just want to like put that in there. When you lose a lot of money, you start thinking very irrationally. So I just like tell them like, "Hey, make sure you go out on a walk. Make sure you absolutely go on a walk today for at least 30 minutes and then come back and then think a little bit more." A lot of people, after experiencing a big loss, try to chase that big loss, right? Like, you can imagine this person that lost 100K, looking at their portfolio, they still have 221K of net liquid that they can like try to make it back. They could revenge trade it. Now, you can take a life-changing amount of money to a very close to life-ending amount of money lost, right? Like, 100K loss is not like that bad. Like, I'm really trying to stretch, not that bad, but like, if you made this 100K loss into a 300K loss and like one more play, like one really bad play because you just were very tilted, that is bad, right? Like, you didn't have anyone to sort of like step in and be like, "Hey dude, you're just a little too out of control. You need to just own up this like 100K loss and then just like work it off," or something, because you still have a lot of money to lose. 221K is not anything to scoff at. It's a reasonable amount of money. Okay. And, you know, again, I'm not the person you go to determine whether or not you close out of your loss or you add on to your loss. That's always going to be your call. But money at the end of the day is not everything. It does. Trading stocks costs money. And you know, some of you will be like, duh. Well, especially if you're not on Robinhood and you're paying a little bit of commission here and there, it's not free. And that's one part of it. But everyone has to learn this lesson of like position sizing or like just getting got, you know. Everyone gets got at least once. At least once. I've gotten got before when my account was much smaller, and thank God I learned that lesson when my account was smaller too. So if you feel like, you know, and the market's been very volatile lately, there's a chance that some of you are listening right now that have recently felt like you got. Like, oh man. Man, it was so obvious I should have taken those profits off the table. Or like, oh, dude, I knew I should have stayed in. Right? Like, those emotions, those feelings, those ideas are very, very rampant when the market's going up and down like this. And so just, it's okay. Everyone goes through a learning phase. I think to suss out that feeling, and this is like a full circle back to the beginning of the episode, I think something that helps that feeling of being able to have a better sense of like where the market is going is just having a general direction and a general bet, right? That will help you a lot. If, for example, you know, you're trading VTLE and the market feels very whippy, or in this case, maybe the stock just seems like it's only going down. If you had already had a vision of, hey, I think VTLE is going to go up to the moon. You know, let's just say that. Let's just say VTLE to the moon. As soon as it starts to not go to the moon, you were wrong, right? You have to consider yourself wrong, and you take the trade off the table, and you consider doing something else. But you have to be wary that you're not just flipping sides right away, right? Like, oh, VLT is not going to the moon. Oh, therefore it has to go to the crater, or it has to go to the Earth's core. It has to go down. And then the moment you buy puts, it starts going back up again. That part feels whippy. When it starts to feel less whippy is when you have a general educated guess. Like, for example, maybe me, I feel a little bit less whippy now. This could be a little bit of copium, or it's, you know, a little bit biased because it's like my idea. But I like to have a general direction or a general guess of where the market's going to go. And I start tailoring the volume of how much I trade based on that thesis. So, for example, I think the market is going to be bullish for the next like few days, the next few trading days. And so I'm going to add on trades as the days are green. You know, I want to keep up with the market. But as soon as like maybe there's like a big strong red day, maybe making a lower low, I know that my thesis and my bet is wrong. So therefore, hey, you know what? I'm going to stop buying, or stop opening newer contracts. I'll just manage the ones I currently have. And it gives you a little bit more of a plan, right? Like when people say that you should have a plan when you trade stocks in the market, I think that's a lot of fluff. I think a lot of even the pros don't necessarily have a rock steady plan every time they are scanning their watch list or their screeners and stuff. They're very opportunistic, right? Like, and every situation is different. Every stock trades differently. Every volume is different. Price is different every day. The context yesterday is different from the context today because you just have more information today. Plans change. So saying that you have to have a rock solid plan is kind of crazy. But when you have a general idea, it makes making that plan at real time just a little bit easier, okay? So you need to believe in something first, and then you look at the outside. That makes things just run a little bit smoother. This person fundamentally believed that VTLE was going to go up, but it didn't go up. So what do? They look for external validation. They start going out to other places and saying like, oh, look, hey, this is going to go up. Does anybody agree with me? Oh, hey, get in. I need you guys to get in, right? You can tell how you've already lost. As soon as you start to tell people to get into your stock, like, hey, this is going to go to the moon, get in before it's too late. Or what do you guys think about this? What do you guys think about this? What do you guys think about this? You're in a losing mindset. You need to have that conviction already, and be more on the long lines of like, hey, I'm in this stock. But you wouldn't necessarily even want to announce it, right? Like, it's just something that you just do. And so that's just something that I reflect on whenever I see these types of posts, right? Like, this is a perfect culmination, I think, of like how much empathy I have for people that lose a lot of money, mixed with like my disdain for people that shill, you know, unneedingly. It reminds me of like the GameStop craze, BlackBerry, AMC, people just telling people to get in the stock even though the stock is going down. I just think it's like so predatory. It's so selfish, so self-centered. Yeah. I mean, I still remember YouTubers that I thought were really cool started shilling GameStop, and I was like, man, you too? That sucks. And then some of my favorite people on Twitter, you know, back when it was called Twitter, were shilling GameStop, and I was like, man, I'm over this. Yeah, it's crazy what the stock market does to people. It's like integrity goes out the window. It's nuts. Like, can you imagine someone on the street, like, in front of a burning building, being like, hey, get inside. It's, like, really comfortable in there, I promise. And, in fact, like, you'll become really successful. You step in this building, and, like, the building is just on fire, right? Like, there's something about being on the internet and just stock market and finances that just kind of brings out the worst in people sometimes, you know. And the longer you stay in this hobby, the longer you kind of are able to build your barometer and tweak your barometer to get a good sense of like who the real ones are, you know? Like there are definitely people on the internet that in the stock market that just only shill. Some people are just only bearish. Some people are this and some people are that. And yeah, just like how you develop your own ideas with trading by imitating other people, you will start to develop your own barometer on just like who you want to learn from in the first place. But yeah, as a beginner, you have no idea. You don't know who to follow. You don't know who to listen to. And then when you have, again, no idea if you should be listening to this person in the first place, like what piece of advice should you be listening to from this person? It's really, really tricky. And you should be as skeptical about me as really anybody else too, right? Like I'm only one person, so hopefully you are also listening to amazing other great podcasts and YouTube videos and stuff. But yeah, it's tough being a beginner in stocks on the internet. It's really tough because there's just so much opinion to comb through. But yeah, just stay in it long enough, and I promise it gets easier to suss out the bad ones. Later. From what just started out as just an idea, then learning how to trade options, then building a logging platform, then partnering with TasyTrade is so surreal to me. If you'd like to trade on TasyTrade, you can see the show description from my referral link or use ThetaGain referral code, one word, all caps, when signing up to help me and support the website, podcast, and stream. This podcast, the website, and stream are all made possible because of my patrons at patreon.com/ThetaGain. Signing up helps keep the services up and alive as well as pay my own personal bills. I do the podcast, website, and stream full-time as my primary source of income. I feel grateful to be able to do this full-time and focus on providing the best service possible for free. The podcast, website, and stream are all free, and it'll stay that way. Signing up for Patreon gives you a few perks, though, so check it out again at patreon.com/ThetaGain if you're interested in helping support. All right. I want to give a special shout out as it's one of the perks if you sign up at patreon.com/ThetaGain. That's why I mention these names at the end of the podcast. I'll say a name, the top three, along with their longest streak number. But yeah, I'll just say the rest of the list in descending order without the number, because I think that would just maybe take too long. But the number one person by a landslide with the longest streak and also the longest current streak is Mr. Integrity. And then followed by Arfman, which he has the longest streak of 245. Fancy Wolf at 198. Major at 161. Gruffalo right behind him at 151. And then Mememet at 143. And I'll just say the rest in sort of just order from here for longest streaks. And that's T-Wall, Los Pepes, Loido, Bearded Savage, ZKMSZ, Banadushi, Ensis 88, Rooster, Bachata Thug, Slow Motion, Clutch, Nala, MX7, Steakatsy, Danghai, Espresso Bean, Vegeta, Plank, McFly, Y-Teen, Alexander Kerr, Maltman, 1856, Theta Collector, Travella, Big Dillo, Maestro XC, AJ Tar, Heel, Desserts, Arish, Smitty, LPL, Jimmy Gill, Coop, Turbo, Ricky, Takumi Elmo, Joe Quirt, Jay Perkins, 86, KJ Martin, Young Rich, Averillion, Rustier, Upstream Puddle, Can't Make Money, IRL, The Jester, Suede Slides, Tyler LM, 97, Andy V, Asha Kabat, Danube 9000, Chicken Dinner, Ben Z, Strategy 28, Husk P, Kaput, Stephanie 10, Bustin' Justin, Grandpine 85, Lord Skeletor, Statistically Random, EDC, Luca Badoer, Mods, and Sumatrix. Thank you all for taking time to listen to today's podcast. I had a lot of fun recording this one. I touched on topics that I don't think I've talked about in quite a while, just as the more recent ones have been either a little bit more technical or a little bit more news focused, but it felt kind of good talking about like a big loss and the shilling thing again, because that's a lot of what I think motivated me early on was like, dude, I was just noticing there were so many people that were misleading people in the wrong direction. And while I was not someone to lead people, I thought I could do a better job in just trying to make people aware that some people are not playing in their best interest, right? That's where I came in. I felt like I wasn't here to change anyone's mind. I was more or less here to just be like, hey, there are some people that are not that good for you on the internet and that are pretty popular that you just want to probably be just aware of. You know, the fintech, the fintwit space is pretty small. There's just like a few, maybe handful is a little bit too small, but there's like maybe like a few hundred people that are really famous in the fintwit space, right? You compare that to sports, there's maybe a few thousand, you know, or tens of thousands of famous people in sports. But in fintwit, you know, you take finance and then you take a subgroup of that are on Twitter, take a subgroup of that and people that are famous. It is a much smaller group. And a lot of these people can be like the default people that these new people go to. And I'm just making people aware, like, hey, some of these people only show their winners. And that was also a huge drive for me when I was building ThetaGaming.com. It's become a lot more user-friendly, if you guys have not noticed, over the past few years, because it's less so about like being real. I'm leaning more into like this community sort of feel. It still has a lot of the real elements. Like I'm keeping track of like when you actually uploaded the trade, and you know, trades are still not deletable. But for the most part, yeah, everything's editable now, or at least most of everything. I'm still working on other fields being editable. But there's definitely a different tone to it now. And I like this tone better. I think it's evolved over as I've gotten more, I guess, like welcoming, having more welcoming mindset. Because I was very like, oh, everyone is bad, you know. But over the 5 years I've been doing this, I met some really cool people that have changed my mind, that have shown me, you know, hey, there are some really nice people on the internet too. Let's see. Plans on the weekend has sort of slowed down for the better. Like, I feel like I have been super busy on the weekend with my fiance, just, you know, doing like weddings or family dinners or something. This coming Saturday, day after tomorrow, me and my fiance are gonna play golf with my bigger group of friends. So it's probably be like eight dudes with some of their girlfriends and my fiance. We're all gonna go play golf, and that's gonna be fun. I've been getting a little bit more into golf. We've been really leaning into pickleball lately, though. Pickleball, amazing. If you have not gotten a chance to play that game is amazing. I love playing pickleball. I know it gets a little bit of flack from people that play tennis, but like honestly, like it's still fun. Yeah, I don't care what you say. I think pickleball is amazingly fun. It's just a right blend of casual and competitiveness. You know, I think I would love tennis lessons one day still. And I think that's only elevated now because of how, I was going to say how good I got at pickleball, but I'll say like how much more serious I'm taking pickleball. I'll say that. That's probably better. I got emails this week from people that watch the VOD on Twitch. So on Twitch, I'd be like, you know, I leave out like at least like 15 to 20 seconds dedicated for the people on VOD, because I'll be like, hey, here's the time now for the VOD watchers. I'll like show all my positions so they could pause the screen wherever they want. And I'll show like my results for the year and all this stuff. And I was like, you know, no one has mentioned that, you know, that they watch the VOD. So maybe I'm just doing this for no reason. And then like the week of, people email me and they say, no, I watch. Thank you so much for doing it. And I'm like, oh, hell yeah, that's super cool. So yeah, for the VOD watchers and podcast listeners, thank you. Means a lot. Let's see. Should have mentioned this on the main part of the episode, but I'm now losing to Spy again. So it's like me and Spy are like neck and neck. However, I'm like still beating QQQ. Like I was pretty well ahead of QQQ. If I had maybe participated in the NVIDIA rally for this week, I would have maintained my lead by QQQ. But QQQ is catching up. Still beating QQQ, but QQQ is catching up. So that's one thing to consider tomorrow. And because I don't know, maybe people have developed a habit where maybe you only listen to this podcast on Mondays, you know, as a treat for like the Monday morning drive. Then happy Monday. But this is essentially coming out on Thursday afternoon, so maybe it's for like a Friday celebratory, like, hey, it's Friday sort of vibes in the morning. I'm excited to see where the market opens up tomorrow. I really do think that it's going to be green up until FOMC, where we get volatility that makes it go bigly up and bigly down. But maybe we ultimately trade flat before we continue up. That's my guess. But I'm not betting that guess. Like, for example, I'm not buying, I guess if I thought it was going to be neutral at the end of it, I would sell a strangle right now. Like I'm not betting on this type of movement, but I am betting if the market does continue trend upwards again from yesterday and onwards. I had tipped off to the Discord that my thesis for the market was that it's going to be generally up, and today was the first day of confirmation that it was generally up. So looking for tomorrow to also be generally up, and then so on and so forth. What else? My shrimp tank is off the chain, off the heezy, as the kids once said. My shrimps mated, because I had not thought that my shrimp were actually going to have babies, but they had a lot of babies. So I'm actually scared of overpopulation in the tank and then that messing up the water balance. So I've been in this like desperate hunch of like how I want to set up my second tank where all the adults will go. I think that's how I'm going to plan it, or maybe all the best ones. I'm not sure yet. But yeah, I ordered a filter, and do this filter. It looks nice, but it is just such a pain to set up. So I'm actually returning it, and that's what I'm going to be doing like right after this. Got to stop by UPS. And then I'm going to go to jiu-jitsu. Oh, speaking of jiu-jitsu, jiu-jitsu has been amazing too. I feel like I've gotten so much better just over like the last like 3 weeks. Something clicked, and I'm just like, I'm just doing a lot better. I think maybe it has to do with me like rolling a little bit slower. But jiu-jitsu feels good. Golf feels good. Pickleball feels good. I'm definitely active, and that I think that's just helping my mindset be positive. This is a reminder, like, if you just sit at home all day, I don't know what you're doing. Like, this life we're living is pretty beautiful, if you don't mind me saying, right? Like, I feel like right now is like, it's a pretty good time to just appreciate life. Like, I'll get emails from my stepdad talking about how this political party is, you know, annoying him because they're saying bad stuff about the other political party. And I'm like, you know, I believe in this political party, and I would agree with you, and I can also see this side, but, you know, I also don't get mad about it. You know, I'm like busy, like, coding, or I'm doing jiu-jitsu. I'm doing other things that are really fun. You know, life is short. I think you should consider, you know, just look at it less. Like, what good does it do you for, you know, trying to defend this person or attack the other candidate? You know, like, are they going to pay you? No. Do they really care about you? Nah, not really. Not on, like, a personal level. Not like someone that, you know, lives with you, like my mom or the dog. You know, there's things that you can put energy into that do not upset you, especially when you're at that age and you're retired. I'm like, to me, if I was retired, I feel like I would not be looking at that stuff. I would be like, whoo, what would I be doing? I'd be playing, hopefully my knees are still good, I'd be playing pickleball, golf. I'd be like, I don't know, just walking around sitting on a bench, and just like letting the sun hit my face. You know, there's kids laughing on the playground, there's people chatting, maybe there's like someone walking past busy in a meeting with their like AirPod 17s in, you know, when I'm like really old, and I'm just like closing my eyes and I'm like, yeah, I made it, you know. That sounds pretty good. But, you know, as you get older, you get kind of cranky. You get kind of cynical. I think it has a lot to do with, like, what you really allow yourself to get into, you know? Like, say, for example, the internet did not exist. You know, maybe my stepdad doesn't get too engulfed in this sort of stuff, right? Like, because he'd be busy doing something like outside. And I know the internet not existing is a stretch, right? But like, imagine if he didn't like engulf himself in like this political stuff. And trust me, I feel like I'm a great person to actually talk about political stuff too, because I am just like so annoyingly in the middle that I feel like I help people come to a conclusion of like, hey, maybe you're being a little extreme too, you know. Well, let's just be fair, you know. And then they're like, oh yeah, you caught me. And I'm like, okay. So yeah, I'm happy that I'm the person that my stepdad sort of talks to about this stuff, because it does mean that he like trusts me, and I'm not annoyed by any of this. Like, I feel I can understand where he's coming from, you know. Maybe he's bored and he actually doesn't have any one to sort of motivate him to go out and do these more fun activities. He is very much in front of his computer all the time. I think that's actually where I got this habit from, is my stepdad, along with, you know, my generation being, you know, MySpace, computer games, and all that stuff. But yeah, I never mind. But I do notice it more and more. And so that also helps me remind myself to not get too deeply engrossed in an idea, always be able to change your mind, which, you know, maybe that actually had it inspired some previous episodes I released this year. But it happens. But lastly, something that I've been thinking about more and more, and it does have to do with my parents, and this is the last thing. I am happy that my stepdad is able to feel these emotions, because as you get older, depression is a absolute factor, because you have less friends. Maybe you had a son or daughter, or maybe they moved away. Maybe you have regrets in your life, or you just don't have a coach. You don't have a mentor. You feel like you know it all because, you know, you're old. You've already gone through life. You don't need someone to tell you what to do. Your mental can drastically shift. I've seen that in both my mom and my stepdad. I still love them to death, and I feel like they've only grown as people. Like, I feel like they are more, absolutely more wise than before, but it comes with challenges, right? Like, I personally, for me, I feel like I'm scared of my mom not doing enough dexterial activities throughout the day. So I'm like trying to like motivate her to like color, do more work in the backyard. And you know, that sounds kind of weird, but like all that really is like pulling like little tiny weeds from the dirt, right? Like, it's not like chopping down a tree or something, but like, you know, hand-eye coordination. Like, she looks for tiny little weeds, she pulls out the little weeds, there's like that gratification loop there, you know, something like that, you know, instead of my mom just like watching YouTube on the TV all day. Whereas I feel like my stepdad could be on the computer maybe a little bit too often. I'm on the computer a lot too, but I am playing pickleball, golf, and I'm doing all these checks. I do jiu-jitsu every day. I do all these checks to make sure I'm not like brain rotting. I feel like my parents are brain rotting. To put it in Gen Z terms, my parents are brain rotting, and it's scaring me. Like, I don't want that to happen to my parents. Like, yeah, the more cognitive load you can put on your brain, whether if that's like doing mechanical movements, you know, learning new movements or something, like golf, it keeps Alzheimer's more away. It won't absolutely prevent it, I'm sure, but I see a lot of studies leading to that. And I've been trying to do a psyops on getting my parents to walk longer every day. That's something that I've been trying to encourage more. But that's life. A life of a 31-year-old kid, I guess. You know, it's not every day that like you stop and reflect that like, hey, you were a kid at one point, and looking at your parents when you were smaller, you had thought that like, wow, my parents know everything, and they have it all figured out, but they went through exactly what we're feeling too. Like, at one point, you know, they had to, you know, lease their first apartment. They had to, you know, buy their first house. They had to have their first kid, or all their firsts. They had no idea if they were going to be doing it correctly or not. But then, you know, as you get older, you start to realize, wow, yeah, my parents did have to go through all that while raising me. And then you start to see those small little imperfections that they have, you know, start to sort of manifest themselves as they get older, right? Like, and I think something that's just like not well talked about is like how to sort of flip the relationship of, you know, your parents are so used to raising you, right? Like, and especially in Western society, you are not really expected to take care of your parents, right? Usually it's like a retirement home or something, which I think there's some benefits to that too, because they get friends and everything, like, you know, if they are into that idea. But at a certain point in sort of like the Asian culture, you do take care of your parents, and, you know, there is like this like mutual trust and respect that, you know, the kid at some point knows better. You know, they speak English better, they handle the medical bills better, they are aware of the health situation better for the parent. But in Western culture, I feel like it's really hard to have that dialogue, because, like, again, I would love to be in a position where my, you know, stepdad sort of like trust me. It's like, you know what, you are right. You know, maybe I am looking at this news too much. Maybe you are right about how they are tracking my cookies and they're tracking my search history to evoke emotional response, so I click on this. Maybe you are right that I have a good life and that I should, you know, try to enjoy my time outside a little bit more. You know, it's hard to get that sort of dialogue going, because he is who he is, and he's been successful enough to, you know, raise me and take care of my mom and, you know, be in a house that's paid for and just thrive. It's cool. But there are dangers that I see in the future if nothing changes. And you guys know me, like if I'm not proactively trying to fix something that's wrong, I feel bad, because if I care enough about something, I'll say something or I'll do something about it. I'm not someone to just kind of just like let things happen. Not to grandstand or anything, but I think a lot of other people are like that too. I'm just one of those people. I'm not any different from someone that's like that. I'm just one of those types of people. This last part of the section was really long. But I think it just comes with the energy of being able to record and release whenever I want. So again, ending this on a good note, I am pumped that tomorrow is Friday, because my boss says it's casual Friday and I get to wear whatever I want. So tomorrow on stream, I'm wearing whatever I want. And going to be playing golf with the boys and their girlfriends and my fiance on Saturday. Blah, 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 and that's it. Yeah. I hope everyone has a great weekend, a great trading day tomorrow, or aka today if you're listening to this on Friday and or Monday. And see you guys later. 9 a.m. Pacific time, twitch.tv/realthetagang. Or just listen to next week's episode. Bye.